From the Cyber Hub bunker and studio, you're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Good morning, security gang. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast. Happy Monday. I hope everyone had a nice, enjoyable, and relaxing weekend. We're back at it, April 8th, 2024, with a lot going on for many cybersecurity practitioners. This weekend's really kind of been loaded with a bunch of different news that shift the ground a little bit from a threat landscape. And those are really, really important to pay attention to because they essentially indicate kind of, you know, cyber attacks come in waves, and you'll have a bunch of waves, then there'll be some calm and you think, all right, we've dismantled, but all it is reorganizing. Then there's another wave, dismantled organization. And that's the cat and mouse game that goes on between, you know, the threat actors and the defenders. So we'll be talking a lot about that on this morning's show. So thank you all for tuning in. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast. If it's your first time tuning in, we're going to try to get to as much as humanly possible in under 15 minutes today and get you informed and ready to go about your day as a practitioner. We have a tradition on the show. I grab a double espresso. Join me for a coffee cup. Cheers, y'all. Coffee cup cheers. It's a great way to power the morning with a cup of coffee. Kind of get the show going. We'll start off with Home Depot experiencing a third-party data breach, which they say includes a small sample of limited employee data, which could potentially be advantageous in phishing attacks. Home Depot, one of the largest home improvement retailers in the country, 2,300 stores in North America, 475,000 Americans make their living working for Home Depot. On Thursday, Intel broker, not the first time we'll talk about this threat actor today, leaked limited data for approximately 10,000 Home Depot employees on a hacking forum. That data, according to Home Depot, was test data that they sent as part of a kind of, you know, test system testing, which is very, very common, by the way. And so there was a small Home Depot associate name, work email, and user ID during the testing of the systems to validate that those fields actually work. And this is one of those things where you can't have fake data in some of these situations because you want to ensure that it works. And you can't work with fake data. You got to have real data. And so Intel broker is a well-known threat actor, gained notoriety by breaching the DC Health link. And it won't be the first time we'll talk about him on today's show. So nonetheless, just something to pay attention to and definitely cross your T's. Cisco is issuing a few warnings for cross-site scripting vulnerabilities in some of its end-of-life RV series small business routers. The CVE is 2024-20362. It impacts RV016, 042, 042G082. 320 and 325 routers. These have all been discontinued and will no longer receive security patches. While Cisco says it's not aware of it being exploited in the wild, there are no workarounds and users are advised to migrate to a supported product. So if you're using any one of these routers, you may want to consider retiring them and moving to something else. A threat researchers disclosed a new arbitrary command injection and hard-coded backdoor flaw in multiple end-of-life D-Link network attached storage device models, also known as NAS. The researcher discovered the flaw. NetSecFish explains that the issue resides within the CGI bin NAS sharing CGI script that impacts the HTTP GET request handler component. The two main contributing to the flaw are CVE-2024-3273, which is a backdoor facilitated through a hard-coded account, and a command injection problem via the system parameter. And when both of those are chained together, an attacker can remotely execute commands on these devices. The device models impacted by this is DNS320L version 1.1, version 1.0, 3.09 or 04.2013, and 1.01.0702.2013, DNS325 version 1.01, DNS version 327L version 1.09 and version 1.00.0409 or 0.2013, and DNS 340L version 1.08, All in all, 92,000 vulnerable D-Link NAS devices are exposed online and could be taken advantage of. There's no patch made available by D-Link on these, as these are end-of-life products, and as such, you're encouraged to switch off those devices and migrate to something that's a little bit more common. Acuity, a technology consulting firm that offers deep domain expertise to federal agencies, is now denying or kind of pushing back on the fact that, yes, we were compromised, but none of the data that was compromised was sensitive. The State Department in itself, when news broke out of the breach, launched an investigation into the claim. Acuity recently identified a cybersecurity incident related to its GitHub repositories that housed dated and non-sensitive information. This is according to Acuity CEO Roy Garcia. Upon becoming aware of this zero-day vulnerability, Acuity applied the vendor's security updates and performed mitigating actions in accordance with the vendor's guidance. After conducting their own analysis and following third-party cybersecurity expert investigations, Acuity has seen no evidence of impact on any of our clients' sensitive data. In addition to cooperating with law enforcement, Acuity takes the security of its customers' data seriously and is implementing appropriate measures to secure its operations further. Intel Broker, remember that name from the first Home Depot store? Here he is again. He's been making claims about obtaining U.S. government data for more than a year. In several cases, the data has been confirmed to originate from third-party service providers and not directly from the federal agencies. The hacker first mentioned targeting Acuity in early March after offered to sell the data allegedly belonging to ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and the U.S. CIS, Citizenship and Immigration Services. All were impacted by this breach. And if you think things are bad, well, here's a trend that we all ought to be paying attention to. There was an attempted hack on New York City. This is increasing the threat on local government municipalities because they've been significantly hit over the last several months. 2024 has seen dozens of governments slammed by ransomware incidents and cyber attacks. The latest high-profile incident involved the city of New York, which was forced to take a city payroll website offline and remove it from public view after dealing with a phishing incident. This was first reported by Politico, which spoke to city workers about the impact of not being able to access the New York City Automated Personnel System employee self-service portal since it was being offline, as many of them were trying to finish some last-minute preparation to file their taxes, which are due next week, folks. New York City's Office of Technology and Innovation told Recorded Future News that the NYC Cyber Command was made aware of a smishing campaign targeting NYCAP's users. Smishing is phishing through text messages, which you're not planning for, you should be. The smishing campaign allegedly involved messages sent to city workers asking them to activate multi-factor authentication with a link to a phishing domain. Sashi Parakesh, CTO at security firm Bolster AI, said that his team saw the domain essnyc.online the day it was registered. Other researchers say the domain was registered in Lithuania, so the threat actors are in the Eastern Bloc of Europe. So there's that. But this is not just only attributed to, this isn't a New York City problem. Birmingham, Alabama, just a few hours west of me. East Baton Rouge, Louisiana, have all announced cybersecurity incidents. Last week, we talked about Jackson County in Missouri forced to declare a state of emergency after a ransomware attack. The Florida Department of Juvenile Justice in Tallahassee admitted that they were dealing with a cyber attack that took their systems offline. Florida's Hernando County similarly launched a cyber attack on Thursday, warning that while 911, police, and EMS systems were still operational, several other government services would be down for an unknown amount of time. All of this is kind of showing you the ripe targets. Washington County in Pennsylvania, they paid a $350,000 ransom following their cyber ransomware attack. And so there are about 40,000 cities nationwide that are soft targets. 95,000 soft targets nationwide. So, man, that is a challenge for so many practitioners and something to keep an eye on of what's going on with your local municipalities. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, also known as HHS, is now warning that attackers are using social engineering tactics to target IT help desks across the healthcare and public health sector. That's nothing new with this advisory. Now, they're saying that they're seeing a specific increase of this in the health sector cybersecurity coordination center, but that's not the only one. If you recall, Okta went through a whole bunch of these types of attacks where it ended up being someone in help desk who was compromised by a threat actor who reset admin passwords for someone without, you know, with just basic validations and so forth. And if you're not investing in hardening your IT help desk, you're really setting yourself up to fall victim for these types of attacks, and something to keep in mind of. Avanti can't seem to get out of the headline, so we've got two stories. One around, can they be redeemed? 16,500 Avanti Connect Secure and PolySecure gateways exposed on the internet are likely vulnerable to another RCE flaw that the vendor addressed last week. The flaws track the CVE 2024-21894. It's a high severity heap overflow in the IPsec component of the Avanti Secure Connect Secure 9.x and 22.x, potentially allowing unauthenticated users to cause denial of service or achieve RCE by sending specially crafted requests. Upon disclosure on April 3rd, the internet search engine showed 29,000 internet exposed instances, while threat monitoring service Shadow Server reported seeing roughly 18,000. At the time, the Avanti pointed that there was no active exploitations at this time, but urged system admins to apply the updates as soon as possible. 2 days later, Shadow Server added CVE 2024-21894 into its scanning capabilities, reporting 16,500 instances are vulnerable there. Over the weekend, Avanti's CEO released a carefully scripted YouTube video and open letter. That's the CEO's name's Jeff Abbott, acknowledging the severity of its security problems and promising to revamp core engineering security and vulnerability management practices. Abbott said Avanti will make significant financial investment in pursuing secure by design principles for all Avanti products on a company-wide overhaul of its PSIRT and vulnerability management processes. This comes 24 hours after the vulnerability we just discussed previously. So, can they be redeemed with a YouTube video and a promise to reform? I'm all about second chances. Hell, this country's all about second chances. The question is, can they keep the trust of their customers? Customers that have already entrusted them, customers that have had to rip out these products, can they redeem themselves enough to sustain a business? For the sake of the people who work for Avanti, I never want to see a company fail, right? Like, that's never the goal when we talk about these types of stories. There's a sense of responsibility here, 3 months too late, coming from the CEO. I think the company culturally may need a change. Funny to see this coming after Microsoft was torched, and yet the Cyber Review Board hasn't even looked into Avanti, which has caused an unspecified amount of damage to federal government agencies. And that's a report I'd be interested to see what they actually talk about. Because the Microsoft one is threat actors. It's Microsoft dealing with China as a private company that works with the government, and the government kind of not having the foot down the throat of China saying, stop going after our companies. Instead, we're shaming the victims. In Avanti's case, this seems to be flawed internal processes that might require a bit of an overhaul across the entire company. That's just a saying there. China, for their end, are using AI to inflame social tensions in the US and Taiwan, according to our friends over at Microsoft. The campaign mainly uses the technology to create visual content designed to spark conflict ahead of elections. AI-generated auto clips featuring a prominent Taiwanese presidential candidate were posted across social media in an attempt to sway voters to the candidate preferred by Beijing. The same Chinese group has also created a slate of new content featuring AI-generated news anchors and used other AI-generated created videos to harass Canadian politicians last year. They're also doing this, by the way, in the Israel war. Specifically, they've also done this in India, South Korea, Taiwan, and many, many others. North Korea, for their end, they're trying to play ball as well in this, and it's really important to pay attention, know your sources, double check everything. Just because it's online, don't believe it. Always look into it. And China is bound to try and create more division in our country between our people because it serves its purpose. If this country implodes from within, it serves China. We need strong leadership. We need to counter China with unity. And we need to once and for all have someone in the White House and our politicians actually hold China accountable for their actions. Maybe only then can we start to see a change in the threat landscape, especially in cybersecurity for many of us practitioners. That's it for our show this morning. We'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, live with all the latest cybersecurity news. Until then, please make sure to subscribe, follow us on your favorite social media platforms, and most importantly, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.